You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the CHGO Blackhawks podcast, presented as always by PointsBet. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Happy Tuesday. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boysen and Mario Tirabassi. We've got Lawrence spinning the dials, there's literally nothing to spin. There's more of knobs and buttons and sliders and stuff, but we just like to keep the old lingo.
Sliders?
Sliders. Ooh, that sounds fun.
I'm hungry.
Let's order some and then Mario's won't come.
That's
a tradition unlike any other.
Yes. Delivery issues and the Masters.
Yes.
One in the same. Me and Justin Fields.
Yeah.
There you go.
If that happens, he could have mine. I have never eaten a slider, nor will I ever
want. Not the biggest White Castle guy.
Nope.
The chicken sandwiches are good, never. But the burger's not.
I'm good for White Castle once a quarter.
Yep. That's your quarterly report.
Every now and again, the crave hits. And you're like, all right, well, I thought about it. Now I have to have it. So see, now, like, within the next 3 days, I have to have it because we're talking about it. But once a quarter, I'm good. My daughter loves them.
I had a bad experience in my early 20s with a late-night binge-drinking session followed by sliders with a 8 a.m. hockey game the next morning.
Oh, my Lord.
That is why I do not
eat
them.
Were you playing or covering?
Playing.
Oh.
And apparently I was...
Did the ice change colors that day?
It almost did. Apparently everybody else on my team was also out late, too, so we had just enough guys to start the game, myself included. So I had to play, like, 7 minutes straight on a belly full of, like, Bush Light and sliders.
Oh, man.
As soon as the first guy showed up, I waved him on the ice, went to the bench, and all of that exited my body quickly.
Oh, man.
So that is why I do not do White
Castle
anymore.
I'm sure that bench smelled great.
Oh, my
well,
God.
It didn't exactly smell good before.
Certainly
didn't ever.
Well, yeah. Oh, that's brutal.
I somehow improved that bench. I don't know how, but
oh, man.
Not pretty.
That's too much vomit in 24 hours for me. Yesterday, I was at the Cubs game. And it just, I don't like the troughs. It's just, I don't need to show everybody everything. So I usually go in the stall, and the guy next to me was just violently vomiting.
Yikes.
Okay. I got to get out of here fast.
I got a really feel trough story, too. Since
did you water slide?
I did not,
trough?
But I did at the very first Foo Fighter concert at Wrigley Field. I ended up standing at the trough next to Edge and Christian of WWE fans.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Now that's amazing.
That's my claim to fame.
Did you get your
photo
opportunity?
Of flash photography. I didn't think that was appropriate at that time, but that's my claim to fame. I have peed next to Edge and Christian.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we are learning all
kinds
of things.
You have any famous bathroom encounters?
No.
No, at Ravinia,
but I got on an elevator that Robin Williams got off of, and we crossed paths.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah,
I peed next to Keb Mo. Anyone know who Keb Mo is? The adult contemporary blues artist at Ravinia.
I let Doc Emmerich cut in line at the bathroom during the 2013.
Nice.
He was
that's
more
a...
important.
I got one. I peed next to the Penguin, Jerry Krause, in spring training at Maryvale, where the Brewers.
There you go.
To spring training.
All right. Yeah. See?
And my only other celebrity running, not my only other, but one that it's worth noting, I once got in an elevator with Suge Knight in Nashville.
Oh, my God.
Scariest 19 seconds
of
my life.
Get out.
I told my girlfriend at the time, do not make eye contact. Look straight ahead. This guy almost killed Vanilla Ice. He won't think twice about hanging us outside of a balcony.
Big red suit and everything?
He had his entourage. It was frightening.
You should have started rapping.
Should have.
Because
this is my moment.
He probably gets that all the time.
Yeah. Hey, man, you got to hear what I'm coming up with. All right.
Dope. I will say, at the United Center covering games next to Gene Honda once. So there you go.
See?
I've drank with Gene Honda. You haven't drank with Gene Honda? Come on.
Sprinkles with greatness. There's another off-season topic we can do.
Coming this Friday, sprinkles with greatness.
Who's the best celebrity you peed next to? Light him up. Put it in the chat. Let's hear all about it. All right, we should get to the old hockey because it is, June 28th, June 26th?
Hey, July.
Just July.
I mean, we've had some serious topics the last couple of days. It's time to get silly again.
We need to
talk about peeing.
Some fun.
I'm with Neil in the chat who says he's convinced he has a nervous bladder because of the troughs.
Because of the troughs,
when he was a kid. And yes.
I believe that. It's
nightmare scenario. I hate the troughs.
Performance anxiety.
Yeah. Stage fright.
Nope.
Yeah. Stage fright is real.
It is.
That is real. That's why I just go in the stall. You're by yourself. Got all the time you need. No one's looking at you.
No one's going to judge you.
Right. Exactly.
Talk more hockey.
Yeah, Josh is really excited about hockey on
Talk
July
more hockey.
Okay, Josh.
Talk more hockey on July 24th. All I think, let's get right to
it. I know Josh, and Josh is kidding. He's being sarcastic. But
any better at the Central Saloon in Seattle.
What did Peril Host Mike said? He was on an airplane with Foreigner. All right, cool.
Nice.
Design Love, Eddie Vedder, Central Saloon, Seattle. That's a good story. See?
I want the chat to be exclusively what celebrity and where have you peed next to?
For every show. Yeah. That's it. That's the only thing allowed in the chat anymore.
Fantastic.
All right. So what our plan was today.
It was not to
wait, we have
it was
plan.
Not this. This was not the plan.
This took a weird turn right off the gate.
Tomorrow is the 1 month anniversary of the Luke Richardson hire. It's only been a month.
How would you judge him as a head coach after 1 month?
He's a bum. He hasn't won a game yet. Get him out of here.
I'm finally putting fingers to keyboard today, and I'm going to do kind of a monthly recap for allchgo.com. That'll be out tomorrow. But a lot's happened in the last month, including lots of player transactions, Hawks coming, Hawks going, all those sort of things. So we're going to get into where have some of the Blackhawks that were on the team last year, where do they end up, and what can we kind of project for their seasons going forward? But first, the three of us got a lot of messages this weekend when the Matthew Tkachuk trade happened. And if you missed it, Calgary Flames superstar Matthew Tkachuk was traded to the Florida Panthers for Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, Cole Schwint, and a lottery protected first-round pick in the 2025 draft. That is a massive, massive haul for a really great 25-year-old superstar player.
Unicorn is the term that I heard a lot.
Unicorn is correct. I still think the fact that it seems like Huberdeau and Weegar are going to sign long-term with Calgary, that Calgary wins that trade.
If they do.
But a lot of people were thinking, well, wait, how did they get that much for Matthew Tkachuk and the Hawks only got what they got for Alex DeBrincat?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of reasons. Yeah. First of all, Calgary's not looking to rebuild. They're looking to reload after losing Gaudreau and having to trade Tkachuk. Different situation. The Blackhawks don't want 30-year-old forwards right now, especially really good 30-year-old forwards. They don't want that. That's counterproductive. But the biggest reason, that 8-year contract he signed right before the trade, 8 years guaranteed of a 24-year-old superstar is a lot more value than 1 year for sure, and we'll see after that.
Yeah.
And plus, Tkachuk's better than DeBrincat. We discussed it before we went on the air. I think DeBrincat's a better goal scorer than Tkachuk, but all-around player, Tkachuk is better. So there's a lot of factors into that. Now, if neither of those guys re-sign in Calgary and they're there for a year, that trade don't look very good anymore.
No, not at all.
But we'll see how that plays out.
But they've got a little bit of protection with the first-round pick, but it's not till 2025.
And it's lottery protected, which means, you know, hey, I get a 25th overall pick.
Right.
And 1 year of Jonathan Huberdeau doesn't sound great, but we'll see what happens.
If they sign one of those two,
it even
still works out pretty well. I don't know much about Cole Schwint as a prospect.
It's a cool name, though.
Yeah.
Schwint.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of Wayne's World. Schwing!
But yeah, if they sign one of Huberdeau or Weegar to a second, an extension, it's a better deal. And if they get both of them, then it's absolutely Calgary comes out on top. For the long term. But yeah, I mean, the extension was the biggest part of why DeBrincat's return was underwhelming in a lot of people's eyes, and why Florida had to give up so much to get Kachuk, because he had the extension. I just find it funny that Florida, the next time that they are scheduled currently to draft in the first round, the player that they will draft is likely right now 14 years old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're going for it. They don't have a first-round pick until 2026.
2026.
And if you don't win a Stanley Cup between now and then, welcome to hockey hell. Well, it's a risk you got to go for, but...
And here's the thing. Like, is Kachuk better than Huberdeau or Uyghur? Probably yes. The output for Kachuk and Huberdeau is pretty even last year. Huberdeau's older, 5 years older. I feel like Florida probably got worse with the trade.
I think they did downgrade for this year. We'll see how it is going forward.
Yeah.
If they felt that they couldn't re-sign Huberdeau and Uyghur, then 2 years from now, they're better. This year, they downgraded.
Yeah.
They
swap top-tier forwards, but you also lose a very good defenseman.
Yeah. Uyghur, 8 goals, 36 assists, 44 points. Not the plus-minus super matters, but plus 40.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge number. And
look, one of the more underrated defensemen around the league.
He's definitely a guy that if he played on Toronto, he'd be in your face all the time.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Now he's going to go to a Canadian market where he'll probably get, even though the Western Canadian teams don't get the pub that the Eastern Canadian teams, but he'll get more pub that he's there. We had someone in the chat.
They have Calgary has a solid defensive group with him.
They do. And they got a really good goaltender in Jacob Markstrom. Hopefully they don't run him to death so he actually can perform in the playoffs this year.
Right, yeah.
Like, you know, we had, let's see here. Narfin26 says the real question is how Kachuk will do without having Gaudreau.
Well,
that's
a
very good.
He has Alexander Barkov.
Who,
so
last time I checked, pretty decent.
Not bad.
Yeah. You could say that same question about Alex DeBrincat now that he doesn't have Patrick Kane. So we're going to see how these guys do. I think Kachuk will be a lot better without Gaudreau than DeBrincat situation. Though DeBrincat in Ottawa, I still think, man, you pair up DeBrincat with Timmy Stuzla, and that could be deadly.
They have a really good young forwards group. We were mentioned it before the show. I think it was cap friendly. Their cap friendly depth charts. They tweeted out the youngest projected roster for the forwards group in the NHL, and the youngest by a full year was Ottawa at 24 and a half years old. DeBrincat, Stutzla, Josh Norris, Drake Batherson, Brady Kachuk. Like, that's if they can convince DeBrincat to stay beyond this season. I mean, it's still the Ottawa Senators, but I think they have a really good shot at being like not bottom of the league, not a joke anymore. If they do some things right,
they can contend for a wild card spot. I think so.
Yeah,
if they get some goaltending,
goaltending and defense. Yeah,
yeah. Other than that, they're fine.
But the future of their forwards group looks real nice.
They've got a nice
that's for sure.
core there. That's what we want to see in Chicago in 3 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you want. And Erica says, am I crazy for thinking that the DeBrincat trade isn't as bad as fans are saying? Sure, the Hawks could have kept him till the trade deadline, but what would the value be then? You're not crazy, Erica. It's not as bad. It's underwhelming. It's not awful. Because when you got to think the long goal here. Mm-hmm. Trading Alex DeBrincat was done to try to get the number one pick, or at least a top two or three pick in next year's draft. That's why you did it. So if the Alex DeBrincat trade nets you Connor Bedard, you essentially traded Alex DeBrincat for Kevin Korshinski and Connor Bedard. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Another thing, too, by trading him at this draft, it gets you a year jumpstart on the rebuild. You know, if you waited till the trade deadline, you have one fewer first-round pick this year. You're also, like Greg is alluding to, you're a better team next year, making it less likely you're going to land Connor Bedard or one of those top three picks. Thursday at 11, a little programming note, we're going to talk to Scott Wheeler from The Athletic. Scott just published his prospect rankings, and the Hawks last year had one in the top 50 in Lucas Reichel. This year they have three, two of which were drafted in the first round this year, Frank Nazar and Kevin Korchinski.
They're both ahead of the guy that was on it last year in Lucas Reichel. So the guy you got in the trade for Alex DeBrincat is already a better prospect than your top prospect from a year ago.
Exactly.
That's what you wanted to accomplish.
Yes. So by trading him now or at the draft, you start the rebuild sooner and more quickly. And the other thing, too, is you can play the game and hope that you get in a bidding war at the trade deadline. But guess what? He could separate his shoulder. He can get concussed. He could break his ankle. There's a million things that can go wrong between now and then that could completely eliminate any trade value for Alex DeBrincat. Then what? Right? Because it's very clear the Hawks were not interested in re-signing him.
Yeah, for whatever reason. I mean, it's still hard for me to wrap my head around the idea that you wouldn't think that DeBrincat would be worth what his qualifying offer was going to be. But I guess if they weren't confident that he would want to stick around for that, it makes that negotiation harder
Also, the fact that we've heard nothing about the Senators trying to extend him right now tells me he wants to hit that open market.
Yeah, I mean, he might see, okay, I see this young group in Ottawa. Maybe if this season goes pretty well and I see a future here, it might change his mind. But I think that's, you know.
You would think trading for a guy like that, you'd automatically want to give him that Tkachuk deal, keep him there.
Yeah.
The fact that we haven't even heard that that's been a discussion tells me that DeBrincat's like, I'm going to play this year, then I'm going to see where we're at. And that is why his trade value wasn't as high as we all had hoped for.
And I know there's been a lot of public comments where he's like, well, I thought I was going to be here a long time. This is where I want to be. Matthew Tkachuk said all the same things. And then when it came time to put pen to paper, maybe the grass is greener somewhere else.
That's definitely not as green when Johnny Gaudreau is gone.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And there is something, I don't want to be like, you know, a lot of people jumping on, oh, you know, Calgary's a terrible town. Nobody wants to play there. I'm not buying that 100%, but there's something to it where, you know, Calgary wanted to pay both Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk, and they both said thanks, but no thanks. So that's when I hear like Uyghur and Huberdeau go, yeah, we could sign here long term. Okay, pal, we'll see you in 6 months. What you think?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I've never been to Calgary. I want to go. I want to experience the famous
That'll
press
doom.
Box of doom.
Nope.
I want to give that a whirl.
Hell no.
That'd be fun.
The catwalk that you got to walk to get to the press box. I want to experience that once. I'm going to wear dark pants to that game in case.
That's a good call.
Not doing it.
But, you know. Who knows? There could be something to the like, hey, I really don't want to play in Calgary anymore. So we'll see what happens. I mean, both of these guys were young. Tkachuk younger than Gaudreau. Calgary wanted to pay both of them. We're willing to say you guys are our guys. And both of them were like, nope.
Those deals keep their contention window open.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of trying to piece back together
they
ways to
guys
keep that
there.
Open.
Calgary is a Western Conference.
It's a playoff. It's another playoff team, top-tier conference team.
I mean, they won the division last year. They underperformed in the playoffs. There's a lot of factors to that, but you know, they're a team that if they had Gaudreau and Tkachuk coming back next year, I put them right up there with the Colorado Avalanche as the teams to beat to come out of the West.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to see, you know, you lose Tkachuk and you can't replace those two. Huberdeau and Tkachuk could be a wash for a couple years if Huberdeau ends up staying in Calgary. I still think when it's all said and done, I think Tkachuk is going to get better while Huberdeau will probably start to decline a little bit. Not drastically, but a little bit just because of his age. It's going to be interesting to watch. And I wonder, you know, does Daryl Sutter play a role? Like, there's a lot of old school coaches left in the league, but none quite as old school as Daryl. And players seem to like him and talk well about him, and he's funny. He's got a dry sense of humor, but when you see superstars leaving for Columbus, nothing against Columbus, but
I mean,
no one saw that coming with Gaudreau.
No, right? it really wasn't the destination that a lot of people had at the top of their list. I mean, I wonder about, you know, like you said, Greg, like we don't know exactly. We've never been to Calgary. We don't know exactly how the town is, but I think you take a look at some of the reaction to both Tkachuk and Gaudreau leaving Calgary, you see some of the reaction not only from Flames fans, but just from general Canadians about in the media about players leaving a team in Canada and going to the U.S. And like, I understand Canada is a hockey hungry market. We know the history of how, you know, the media in places like Toronto and whatnot treat some of the players. And I don't know. I feel like if I was a player, top tier player, and I was, you know, playing in a Canadian market, and every day I heard how I wasn't doing enough. I was, you know, I was the reason that the team was underperforming, or, you know, I put up 100 points, but it wasn't enough. And, you know, just getting kind of treated unfairly like that. I might look at a place like Columbus or Florida, yep, too, and be like,
hey,
cool, you know, that wouldn't be so bad.
We lose in the second round. Nobody cares.
I could potentially make more money. I could maybe live a little bit more comfortably with my mental health and still be a superstar player.
Be weary, Toronto Maple Leafs fans. You got a guy, he's mentioned, mm-hmm, a couple times here in his chat, 2024, young Mr. Austin Matthews. Be careful. I can't wait for those articles. Matthews too soft to play in Canada.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. Like, they're getting mad at guys like Gaudreau and Tkachuk for leaving Canada. They're Americans, you dolts. They don't want to play in Canada.
And they had 219 combined points in Canada. I think they can handle playing in Canada.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a big deal. 104 points for Tkachuk, 115 for Johnny Gaudreau. It's not Canada.
Right.
Quit being wieners about it.
Like, get over yourselves, so Canada. You've got other issues in Canada you need to worry about rather than Johnny Gaudreau right now.
One of their biggest issues? I don't think they have PointsBet. Is there PointsBet.ca? Is
that a thing, Lawrence? I don't believe so.
Well, that's their problem. Well,
they should put on the odds on where Austin Matthews leaves the country. What American team is he playing for in 2 years?
That's
exciting. The Hawks.
Well, if you want to get points bet, you're in luck because you're probably in Illinois or you're in the United States. Do it. Download the PointsBet app. Use that code CHGO. When you do that, you'll get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. And with a $50 or more first-time deposit, you're going to get that free CHGO membership that unlocks all of our great web content. You get a free shirt from the CHGO locker, access to our members-only Discord, feet pics from Greg, all the great stuff that comes with
those
the CHGO.
Those are extra.
that's unconfirmed.
That's CHGO Plus.
You got to go to CHGO OnlyFans for that.
So all that great stuff, all that for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. And remember, use that code CHGO when you play along. I played last night at the Cubs game. I bet on the Cubs to win when the game was tied. So I cashed in very little money, but it was still fun to play along in-game. And those in-game bets are super fun and super awesome. So you should absolutely do it. Jump on PointsBet. Do it now. What are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
And we are also brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 formula. What is Athletic Greens, you may ask?
What is it?
I'll tell you. It is a nutritional powder, this AG1. And with one scoop of it, you are on the way to improving your gut health, optimizing your immune system, and giving you more natural energy. You absorb 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens in just one scoop of AG1, and it's a great way to start your day right. And if you have different dietary restrictions or follow different diets, whether it's gluten-free or dairy-free or keto, whatever it is, with AG1, you're good to go. It's easy to incorporate into your life no matter how busy you might be. Just a small once-a-day habit with big benefits. Right now, it is time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It is just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGOBlackhawks. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/CHGOBlackhawks to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
All right. So now that we have dissected the Matthew Tkachuk trade and compared it to the Alex DeBrincat trade, let's catch you up on where the former Blackhawks from last season ended up. The answer is they're all Washington Capitals. Good night, everybody.
Yes, the new Blackhawks East.
The centerpiece to the Florida Panthers trade that brought the Hawks Riley Stillman and Alex... Alex? No, Henrik Borgstrom. Why did I say Alex Borgstrom? Borgstrom is a Washington Capital. 1 year deal, $750K. Good luck to both parties on
that
one.
Is that a two-way?
It's got to be.
I think he'll enjoy Hershey a lot.
Yeah. Best college center ever, according to that guy. He who shall not be named. I said his name on the radio this weekend. Does that count?
Nah.
I didn't hear it, so it didn't count. Good.
If you're not in earshot of the jar, you're all right.
Yeah. Good. All right. Good to know. Eric Gustafson signs a 1 year deal, $800K in Washington.
Good luck with that.
And the most significant of the three, of course, Dylan Strome, 1 year deal, $3.5 million to be with the Caps. And we were talking before the show. Dylan Strome has to play without Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat, but he gets to play potentially with Alex Ovechkin.
Backstrom's out for
not sure
a
about
long
that, but yeah.
There's no Backstrom.
No Backstrom for what? He had
a couple months, at least.
Surgery?
To like
right?
November or December, like a significant time.
He'll miss the start of the year. So yeah, Strome will have a good opportunity.
Hey, Dylan. Pass to the left. That's all you got to do.
Just work on that pass to the left.
Pass to the left. Head to the net. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a good season. I'm actually happy for Dylan Strome. I hope he rides the Ovechkin effect to a career year. I like Dylan Strome. He's a nice kid. Dog guy. Got to love a dog guy.
Got to love a dog guy.
And, you know, he's just – I don't know what it is about NHL GMs. Just they're all crapping on Dylan Strome. They're like – he's a good player. He's not a great player, but he's a good player. And if you put him around other good players, he's going to do good. It's weird how that works. It took the Blackhawks 3 years to figure that out.
It's just funny that, like, that's the knock on him. Well, he only produces when he's with good players.
Well, so does everybody else.
When we put him with shitty guys, he's really not doing anything. Yes.
It's like the same thing with Philip Kurshev. When we play him on the fourth line, he stinks. But when we put him with Patrick Kane,
somehow he's not racking up points with Reese Johnson and Sam Lafferty. What's wrong with this guy? And skating him in a role that is not suited to him at all. Colin had him as like a third and fourth line winger.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. And you're like the Strome thing baffles me. And I can squint real hard and see why the Hawks didn't want to bring him back. And you could tell Kyle Davidson's trying to build a team that competes really hard, is a North and South team, physical. Dylan Strome is none of those things. Fine, but he's a good player. And the fact that, like, from what I was told, the best offer the Hawks got for Dylan Strome was a 6th-round pick. Like, that's crazy.
There has to be something.
And yet you got the 13th overall pick for Kirby Dach. That blows
right.
my mind.
Right, yeah. That the gap would be that far between the two of them, both RFAs. Like,
I know Dach is younger and bigger, but, I mean – if you tell me now you can have one of these two guys to play for your team right now that's contending, which would you rather have? It's Dylan Strome.
Absolutely.
I guess, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's for building for maybe a guy gets better, then you go Kirby Dach. But if I need to win now, I'm taking Dylan Strome over Kirby Dach.
There's got to be something, and this is completely speculation by me. It's not – I don't know anything about it. There's got to be something in the NHL circle of front offices about him that it's just like this is – It's got to be something like an attitude or a work ethic thing.
Or like maybe
that
it's
just like, you know what,
attitude.
it's not worth it. I don't get it.
Because I think about when Derek King took over, it was looked at as like a clean slate for Strome.
Yeah.
But then immediately again, he was scratched a few times and had like earn his way back into the lineup, and then he never let it go. But Jeremy Colton, whatever, right? Smartest guy in the room until he's fired. Derek King seems like a reasonable coach. Whether or not you thought he was head coach candidate doesn't matter. You just knew that he had a head for who belonged where. And that was just a massive upgrade from what they had had before. But even he, the first impression he got from Dylan Strome was clearly not good.
Mm-hmm.
And Strome found himself in the doghouse with him early on. So maybe there is something to it. He says all the right things. His teammates seem to love him.
Yeah.
Usually when you got a guy who's a dog, teammates don't like him and won't say nice things for him and won't vouch for him. They might be political and say, oh, you know, Stromer, he's been great.
But you pick up on the cues.
He was the Masterton Award nominee for the Hawks this year. That says a lot, wasn't he?
You would think.
Our guy Chris Dubiel, excellent PA announcer for the Chicago Wolves out there in the Mont of Roses. you know, Strom's a good player, but how does he fit on a contender? I think GMs are worried about his two-way play. He also mentions the league is all about speed. Yes, Dylan Strom
not fast.
Is not fast.
Not the fastest.
And, yeah, his defensive, I think, is
it got better. It got
better. Like, we talk
he's
about,
not Patrice Bergeron.
No, but
he's not David Camp.
But like, he's not a liability by any means. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he might look like a liability out there with Patrick Kane, who's
also a liability on
instantly
defense.
Instantly skates like he's got a piano on his back the second the Blackhawks right. don't have the puck.
You notice that, huh?
Fastest guy in the world when he's got the puck. And as soon as he doesn't, it's like, oh, my knee hurts. Mm. Can't skate.
Yeah, he puts his head down like, I'm skating in quicksand.
My legs are burning.
Couldn't possibly back check.
So there is some is, but I don't think it's a work ethic thing because just look at how he improved at the faceoff dot.
Yeah.
You don't do that by half-assing it. You right. work your ass off to do that.
Yep.
So that tells me it's not a work ethic thing. So I don't know what it is. I think there's a rap sheet on Dylan Strome that probably half of it is justified and the other half is like, I don't think so. Are you actually watching type of thing? But he's got a chance, a 1-year prove it deal with Washington, a team that's veteran laden that wants to ride the Alex Ovechkin train for one last run. If he gets to play with Alex Ovechkin, there's your chance to tell your critics like, hey, pay me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's
the line from Goodfellas? F you, pay me. He's got a real good chance of doing that this year.
Absolutely.
Or he's got a really good chance of proving all those doubters completely right.
And without Backstrom starting the season, the center depth is basically Kuznetsov and then Strom.
Yeah.
So he should have the opportunity to play with some very good players with the Capitals.
A game I like to play, and I think we've done this before with Strom, is would he have a full-time spot on the Dynasty Blackhawks?
I don't think. We've had this discussion. I don't think he fits any of the three rosters. I don't. Because he's not a defensive checking centerman.
He's not fast.
They piecemealed the second-line center, though, for so many years, having to add at the deadline with Hanzus and Vermette, and it was always something they were trying to plug in. Or Boland would have to kind of play up where he was ideally suited for third.
Boland, Richards, Vermette.
And
Hanzus.
Richards and Vermette and Hanzus are, Richards and Vermette were definitely better than Strom.
Yeah.
Hanzus at that point in his career, I'm going to give that to Strom.
Sure.
Yes, but Hanzus did things way better that Dylan Strom can't.
Hanzus was a lot better defensively than Strom
penalty
was.
Kills.
Yeah.
Give you that jam and that grit. Like
the hair.
Yes, he does. He does. Hanzus did things in the playoffs that I don't think Dylan Strom, while he's never really had a chance to, could ever do.
I want to see a race between Hanzus and Strom.
Strom would win that.
And I'll come back in 10 minutes and see him reach the blue line.
You got time.
Strom isn't that slow.
I know.
I don't know if he really muscles out anyone of those 10, 13, 15 rosters.
I could see the 15 rosters, but maybe the only one he can get on.
Maybe.
But maybe he could play that Brad Richards role.
But do you consider if they go Taze Richards, Strom, let's say they start the season with that, do they go Vermette at the deadline?
Maybe.
Or, you know, how does that play in? If they have Strom as a third line.
Vermette was sneaky, even though our guy Q liked the healthy scratch him. Vermette was huge in that run in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He had 4 game winning goals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that Q thing, man.
I remember showing up to one of those Ducks games in the conference finals and finding out that he had scratched both Vermette and Teravainen.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a cloud of obscenity still hovering over the United Center to this day. I was screaming F-bombs. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, Chris brings up a good point.
Of course
no way
they won
Q
that
would
game.
Trust Strom over Richards or Hanzus. That's true.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, the Q factor plays a role for sure. All right, next up on the list of movement, Dominik Kubalík.
Back to the bathroom we go.
2 years, $2.5 million with the Red Wings for Dominik Kubalík. All right, it's where borderline European prospects go to die, I guess.
Him and Pia Suter can reunite. Remember when the Blackhawks couldn't live without Pia Suter?
Yeah. He's a fine player. He killed the Red Wings. I'll give him that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's kind of like when the Cubs signed Luis Gonzalez. Hey, this guy's been kicking our ass.
And
all year.
Who was the other one?
Jeff Blauser.
Jeff Blauser. Lawrence just died. R.I.P. Lawrence.
Jeff Blauser. Good Lord. I haven't heard that name in like 27 years.
Yeah, we don't need to. We don't need to hear that name anymore.
And we're not
going to
hear it for another 27 years.
So it'll be interesting to see where Kubalik lands in the lineup in Detroit. They made a lot of free agent moves. Mm-hmm. One that I take a little issue with. They signed Olli Maatta, and it's like the most brilliant move in the world. 3 years ago, the Hawks signed Olli Maatta, and people are like, the Hawks are idiots. What are they signing Olli Maatta for?
It's because they don't have Steve Yzerman.
Yeah.
Steve Yzerman's everything he touches is gold, mm-hmm. which is kind of, well, there's many reasons I'm hoping the Detroit thing falls flat on his face, but I want Steve Yzerman getting knocked down a peg or two.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
I'm okay with that.
He's not the god of general managers. He's very good. Would I trade my GM for him? Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah, I would.
Sure. But you know what? He needs a little, he needs a little adversity in his career.
Yeah. Any thoughts on Kubalik to Detroit? Just kind of a meh.
I think a lot of people still hold on to his rookie season as a 30-goal scorer as, like, he could still do this. I don't know. Yeah. I think we saw two seasons of he could still do this, and it's like, hey, he's not, he can't.
I think he
rode Jonathan Toews' last good season that he probably had in him. Jonathan, if you're listening, that's a challenge. and yeah, he scored 30 goals. It was great. But it just, he didn't find it in the last two seasons. Obviously, the cancellation and the pandemic and everything could play an effect in rhythms and whatnot. I know that's really important to professional athletes.
Yeah, but
everybody
else in the league was
everyone else had to deal with it as well. So, yeah, I mean, if he can get back to being like a 20-goal scorer and, you know, play a effective middle-of-the-lineup role with Detroit, all the power to him.
Yeah, I think the guy we saw the last two seasons is more the real dominant Kubalik than we saw that first season.
I think the biggest thing with him is
his confidence.
If he doesn't, well, yes, confidence, but if he doesn't round out his game, I don't know what else he does, hit one-timers. Like, yep. And if you don't do that at an Ovechkin level, you can't be a one-tool player.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, for a team that's looking to take the next step, he's a nice depth piece. That's got to be his role. Next up, at the draft, everybody knows, Kirby Dach traded to Montreal. Interestingly, still without a contract, restricted free agent, no contract yet with Montreal. It'll get done. It's just a matter of when. He was on, if you want to hear Kirby Dach say absolutely nothing of interest, he was on John Scott's podcast the other day. I tuned into that like, oh, we're going to get some dirt. And it was like, oh, God.
He spent 17 minutes talking about the Blackhawks, and I learned nothing.
Nothing. And he was literally being made fun of by Scott and whoever he hosts with for saying nothing.
Well, I first saw that it was a podcast brought to you by Hockey Fights, and they're having Kirby Dach. And I was like, yeah, this is not going to be worth my time.
The one thing he did say, John Scott said, like, which Hawk would you like to fight? And he said Jonathan Toews, but only because they used to, like, playfully wrestle.
They would wrestle at stuff,
in the locker room, which is weird. But cool, whatever, do your thing.
I guess he got, he handed him his lunch at the face-off dot all practice
yeah,
long.
Yeah, right.
Tacked him in the locker room with a chair.
Can you imagine?
That's the way to go,
always,
yeah.
I always thought about that. Like, Kirby Dach's working with Jonathan Toews to get better face-offs, and Toews is like, win. No. It's like the scene in Spaceballs where, what's his name? Lone Star is holding Dark Helmet by the head, and he's just swinging away. Yeah, it's sad. It's, losing every face-off is not a way to learn how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw.
Yeah, they should have put him in there against somebody who could actually like win a few, maybe get that confidence up, and then you work your way up to facing Jonathan Toews.
Have Stroman, could have had Stroman Dach working together, but maybe that would have hurt Dylan Strome's abilities. Well,
whatever Dylan Strome did to get better at faceoffs, Kirby Dach should have been doing the same.
Yeah,
thing.
It worked. So yeah, I think having Toews take his lunch money every practice wasn't a good idea for not only his faceoff abilities but his confidence. But yeah, hopefully, you know, he can find a new stride with Montreal, and he's got a young group to play with Suzuki and Caulfield out there, and apparently a unicorn head coach with Martin St. Louis. So it'll be interesting to see what he does in Montreal.
A lot of leg days in Montreal coming up.
I think that would be good for Kirby. There.
The whole like pressure to perform thing that Kirby Dach has been sort of scrutinized for, and he's publicly spoken about it, turning off his social media and all that stuff. He said the night of the draft, he had to turn his phone off too, because he was hearing the trade rumors, and he went and worked out.
I feel like if I was in that situation and everyone I know is seeing my name as a trade rumor and everyone I know is calling me, I'd probably turn the phone off too.
True. But if the pressure to perform is not your thing, good luck in Montreal, buddy. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Good luck in Montreal. If you thought the pressure in Chicago was high.
I just hope that, look, I wish him the best. I really like him. Like we've said, super great kid. And we've seen those flashes from him. Like, there it is. Like, the series in Edmonton, he was one of the best Hawks on the ice.
Yeah.
One of the best players on the ice.
He did it a lot in his rookie year. And then,
yeah. And again, he's had a lot of stuff working against
him. We've chronicled a lot of that lack of development, a lot of that wasn't his fault.
No.
So I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. I hope he does well in Montreal. I hope he gets that next level. But I do worry about the whole, well, it's too much pressure in Chicago. Well, it's going to get jacked
good
up.
Good luck in Montreal.
Exactly. And I wonder, too. So one of my initial thoughts was, well, maybe he'll do better without the crushing expectations of being a number three pick. But he was traded for a first-round pick.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be scrutinized, too.
Essentially traded for
Frank Nazar.
For Frank Nazar and gave up a promising young defenseman.
Yeah.
To get, you know, that was the first part of the pick. They got they traded Romanoff to the Islanders to get the 13th pick, which they then flipped to the Blackhawks for.
Right.
So they essentially traded Romanoff and Frank Nazar for Kirby Dach.
And a third-round pick.
And the third
I don't
round
remember
pick,
who
yes.
who it was used on, but
probably
I think
a
it was,
guy
was
named
it 66? Look that up.
Was it Luzinski?
Ludwinski went in what was the Ottawa pick in the second round.
All right.
Michael says, if Lake Michigan was the net, Doc would hit the post. That's just mean-spirited, Michael. Come on, man.
I know. That's funny, though.
It is funny.
That's funny.
You're not wrong. Kind of what, the other
our,
funny
our
thing.
Beacon of positivity, Michael, in the chat.
Kirby Doc said to John Scott, he's like, I'm more of a pass guy.
No kidding.
You think?
Yeah.
My God,
yeah,
it's all he does.
No,
I do wish him well, and I hope he becomes a star in Montreal because I don't think it was going to happen here. If you missed it, Alex DeBrincat's in Ottawa. We talked about that. Ryan Carpenter, remember him?
Gavin Hayes was the pick.
Oh, there we go.
Gavin Hayes,
66th overall.
Ryan Carpenter, 1 year, $750,000 with the Rangers. So a nice
depth signing for a team with
Stanley Cup, hopes and dreams. Thank
I
you.
Like Ryan Carpenter.
Carpenter, I saw online, he grew up a Rangers fan, right?
Yes, I think I saw that correctly.
Cool. So that's cool for him.
Yeah, no, I like Ryan Carpenter.
You can only be traded to where you're a fan of.
Yes, that's
don't
true.
Don't forget that.
No, I thought
that
it was your true. Hometown.
Home, usually the same, I think he's from New York.
Oh. Well, then
I
don't know.
I could be making all these things
to.
Up. I'm not 100% sure.
I no longer like him.
Calvin DeHaan, Brett Connolly, still unsigned. By the way, Calvin DeHaan joining the show next week.
Hey.
Don't miss that.
Yeah, hopefully he'll come on and break the news
of where he's going.
We're going to hopefully break. No, I'm just kidding. We're not.
No, he probably won't.
Good for Calvin. He's a good dude. I'm looking forward to that.
Marc-Andre Fleury, Blackhawks legend. 2 years, $3.5 million to stay with the Wild.
Ryan Carpenter is from Florida.
So the Wild.
Never mind.
I don't know.
The Wild had their window, and it is going to shut real fast.
Yeah, I think it's shut already, isn't it?
But how
this is
open
where
was
all
that
the Parise and Suter stuff comes down?
I think this year it starts. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it goes forever.
Yeah. They're going to be paying those guys off by the time
Bobby Bonilla's done getting paid.
Yeah, maybe. It goes on for a long time. They have screwed themselves. And last year was like, people were like, oh, this is the year. Like, and I never really bought into the Wild. Come playoff time.
I wanted them to get
to the conference final for that first round pick.
I bought in more when they got Fleury.
I did too, but then Fleury wasn't great in the playoffs. Except for Kaprizov, nobody knew how to score in the series, which is a problem.
And we don't know what the hell's going on with Kaprizov either with all the Russian stuff.
Yeah.
So
has there been anything new on that in the last few weeks?
I haven't seen anything new. Last I knew is that it was just, He was actually in Russia, but not like technically. He's not like wanted or anything. I don't know. It seemed
that's good.
It seemed like that report might have been, a little mix up.
I trust everything that comes out of Russia.
Yeah,
these days.
Can't doubt it.
Totally newsworthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Russo of the Athletic covers the Wild. I believe what he was saying was that he's not in trouble in Russia. So, but still, I mean, You never know. It's a big scary. old question mark.
When anytime the Russian government is said to be looking for you, it's a little off-putting.
Not usually a great a great outcome. Just for the record, by the way, Parise and Suter will be paid by the Wild. The buyout lasts until 2027-28.
Yikes.
Next year, a combined 12.743 cap hit.
Imagine how many players you can sign for that.
2023-24 awesome and 24-25. $14,743,000 for each of those 2 years. Then for the next three, it drops to 1.666666.
Ah, nice.
Combined for those next 3 seasons.
So the next two seasons
are... The next three seasons
three
are brutal
seasons
for the
are rough.
Good luck.
Yikes.
It's
so
scary.
Yeah.
I don't... You're almost better off just living with them at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to try to win.
I mean, how... Like, insulting is that? They're like, you're so bad. We're willing to screw ourselves. We're willing to sit on a money that we could sign three or four contributors to our playoff team than have you here.
Oh, Lord.
Good work if you can get it, I guess.
Yeah. The other ones, Kevin Lankinen, 1 year, $1.5 million in Nashville.
Good for him.
And Colin Delia joins Team JC in Vancouver, 1 year, $750,000.
Always
got
to have JC in your life. Open your hearts to JC.
Open your hearts to JC.
I feel like those two will have a chance to contend for backup roles, but I've got a feeling both of them are going to end up as number threes.
Who's the backup in Nashville?
Connor Ingram, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, if he's still there. He's a good goalie. I like him.
And he's not going to beat out Saros.
No.
So.
They have Saros and Lankinen as the tandem now.
Okay.
You're going to
be done. Yeah, I don't. Other goalies in the organization, Askarov, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Tomas Vomaka.
No.
Devin Cooley and Connor Ingram.
There's Ingram.
Yeah, he's RFA for next year. So
yeah, I wonder if Lankinen and Ingram will battle for the backup spot.
Then we could see a lot of Kevin Lankinen in the AHL with Milwaukee as he plays the Ice Hogs 68 times.
the Lankinen thing, too, is also very much like Arvid Soderblom, maybe with Rockford, is – they want Askarov to get the bulk of starts, start every game. Can he come over yet?
I don't know.
No, Askarov.
He's still 20.
Yeah, but he's
got a
KHL.
I don't know
what they're going to do with that.
I don't think he's coming to North America for at least another 2 seasons.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
Which, for his development, good. But also, it might be a thing where it's just like, no, you signed a KHL contract for 8 years. You're stuck here. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever happens, it's not going to be a very friendly negotiation.
It's not going to be an easy transition, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, so of all these guys that moved, I think the one I'm most interested to watch is Doc. I think I was maybe the last person on earth to have hope that he would pan out into something like a really good second line center. But the fact that they moved him, it tells me that the Hawks kind of were like, this is what he is, and we don't have much hope for his development. And look, maybe it is a change of scenery thing, but again.
Maybe it was a Doc decision.
Maybe.
Maybe he said, you know what?
He said he didn't know it was coming. He said that he started hearing stuff.
I guess he
said in his postseason meeting with the brass that there was no indication he'd be moved. But again, people say stuff, to protect everybody, and they don't want to look bad. So it's hard to...
Kirby Doc doesn't come off to me as the type of guy that will go into Kyle Davidson's office and pound the desk, say, trade me right effing now. I don't see that happening. So I agree that he probably didn't see that coming, knowing his personality.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm very interested to see how he plays this next season in Montreal. And, it's a complete change of scenery. Even in Montreal, a new coach... a young team that has expectations. Carey Price seems like he's in the mix, so that's good for the Canadiens for sure. It'll be interesting to see. I echo what you guys are saying. I do like Doc. Seems like a good kid. Seems like someone who wants to. He has the drive to get back to being, the player that can reach the ceiling that he had as the third overall pick. But yeah, I mean, it's we'll see how that goes. With DeBrincat too in Ottawa, I'm just really intrigued by that young group that they have, and how he fits in and where they can go this season. Because if it looks I really think if it looks promising, if a lot of those guys take a step forward in their career all together, this team could make some noise, and it could interest him in staying longer than just one season.
Here's one thing about Doc in Montreal that it'd be fun to watch. He's now going to be a teammate with Juraj Slepkovský. Guy, similar kind of build. Similar kind of, like, he's a big guy. So you got two big guys. All of a sudden you got
Slepkovský's a shooter.
So maybe that's a guy that Doc can be like, hey, okay, we're kind of like same frame-wise, same size. Maybe I can learn some tricks from him and vice versa. So those are two guys to kind of watch together. That's definitely a storyline. I'm going to be rooting for Dylan Strome in Washington.
Yeah, me too.
DeBrincat in Ottawa will be fun. That's a team that, you know, can either be a really cool, fun storyline, or they could be the 2021-22 Blackhawks, and the wheels can come off real quickly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff to watch. I mean, there's things to pay attention to around the league while we're trying to avoid what's going on in the United Center.
Yeah, right. I think what's interesting is that pretty much all of these guys, there's really no, like, good riddance, bad blood, or anything about them leaving.
Except for Eric Gustafson.
Eric Gustafson is just...
But he's a nice guy.
It's not really...
It's not his fault.
It's not like...
Yeah, it's kind of his fault he's bad at hockey.
Well...
It's kind of his fault.
Blame his parents.
He's in control of that. But yeah, I mean... It's not really you knew he wasn't coming back, right. So it was just like,
well, we said
it's
not that, like we were like,
oh, Eric, come back, like we want you. It's like, no, like go on, do your thing wherever you're gonna be. It's more of good luck to Washington for giving him that deal,
right?
A couple chats we should address. No Roids Just Rage says, in your opinion, if the Hawks pick second overall next season, would Michkov be your pick or Fantilli? Considering Michkov is signed until 2026.
Fantilli.
Yes.
I.
So who did you want?
Adam, if it's number two, it's Adam Fantilli.
Yeah, I'd probably lean that. Michkov is really good, but there's so many uncertainties there.
Yeah, if you have the three of them, Bedard, Fantilli, Michkov, Michkov right now for me is third, and it's not even based on skill. It's just the question marks of a Russian player. And having that long of a deal in the KHL and just kind of knowing the ins and outs of that league and the behind-the-scenes things that have come to light over the years from different stories and stuff, it's just I take Adam Fantilli. Chicago Steel, come on. Not a far drive down to the UC from there.
Maybe if Russian-U.S. relations were a little bit better right now, you take that chance, but it's too risky.
Yeah, it's a huge risk. Huge risk.
Yeah. PW had a comment about Kirby Doc saying that he just did not have a good compete level. I don't know if that was necessarily the case. What I saw from Doc was a guy who you could see him thinking.
Yeah.
And there'd be times where he would like literally think himself out of a scoring chance where he'd have a breakaway or a 2-on-1 and he'd be processing. Eh, I'm too close to the net. Nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Like stuff like that happened with Kirby Doc all the time. And one of the things he said with John Scott was like he just needs to start working on trusting his instincts a little bit. Yep. And that's true.
Seemed like a common theme from the Colleton era is that a lot of players had to go back to their instincts and trusting them.
Yeah. Right.
When a hockey player is thinking on the ice, bad things usually happen. You become a step slower.
Absolutely.
You become a step tentative. Just
a split second in hockey makes a huge difference.
Be the player you were that got you to the NHL. Mm-hmm. Rely on those instincts. That's what got you there.
Yeah. Yep. And I think, too, I think a lot of last season you saw how much Doc wanted to be able to do all of the things that he was, quote-unquote, supposed to be able to do. I think the desire was there. I don't think the compete level was a problem.
No.
I think and he's not someone who shies away from physicality, whether it's, you know, laying a hit or taking many of them.
Definitely found him plenty of times.
Yeah.
On the ice.
So I don't.
No, you see,
I don't say that he's not competitive.
A guy that isn't competitive isn't the guy that we saw on the bench so many times in the last couple of years, just frustrated and mad at himself for not making a play. A guy with no competitive edge isn't mad at himself for not doing it. He just gets
not showing the same frustrations.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't buy that either. I just think it had a lot to do with just thinking too much, not realizing, you know, not deciding if he wants to pass or shoot quick enough. And those things just start to stockpile, and all of a sudden you're in your own head, mm-hmm. and you're dead on your feet at that point.
Michael asks, what kind of player is Kirby's brother, Colton Doc? Very similar, 6'4", 196. Had a huge season with the Kelowna Rockets last year. 61 games, 29 goals, 50 assists, 79 points. It's a matter of, can he put it together? We saw him at development camp. He looked like one of the better players. I would say he didn't stand out as much as Nazar did, as much as Korchinski did, some of the other first-round pick types, but he was definitely one of the better players out there.
He's again, he's currently at Canada's World Junior Championship development camp, evaluation camp. I think a lot of the what you see in Colton Dock's game is similar to his brother, but I think he has more of a tendency to shoot, and if he keeps that when he makes the transition to the professional level, I think that'll bode well for him.
I think there's more offensive upside.
Yeah.
He has a better shot and uses it more.
Yeah, and what's good is he's going back to junior. He's not going to the NHL before he needs to. So that will also more than likely help him in his development.
Go back to juniors this year, play in Rockford next year. We'll see you in 2 years and where you're at.
I don't have a problem with that.
Let's take the everything we did with Kirby Doc. Let's do the exact opposite with Colton and see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. All right, let's wrap up the show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We want to give you one final reminder to go ahead and download that PointsBet app. It helps us at CHGO grow, which I think you all appreciate because a lot of the same people are here every day. We're seeing a lot of great new people in the chat and some others, too. Jump on that PointsBet app and use that promo code CHGO when you sign up. You'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but make a $50 or more first-time deposit, and you're going to get that free CHGO membership. That'll get you all of our web content, access to our members-only Discord, and a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. Any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we'll get you squared away. And in case you missed it, online sign-up is available in Illinois. You can actually download the app right now from your couch. Using that code CHGO, you'll be ready to start placing your wagers in minutes. You'll be signing up with the fastest sportsbook, easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. What are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We're back tomorrow at 11.
Did you want to take a few minutes here to talk about your...
We got to do our therapy session, don't we?
Not Blackhawks related.
We all have something.
Similar
podcast therapy.
Lawrence, I'm going to give you the floor first. You had a gripe.
Oh, gosh. Me first?
Yeah, Broadcast Therapy Tuesdays. Let's go.
Oh, well, in that case...
Your hour ends in a minute, so make it fast.
Yeah, let's just talk about the fact that discontinuing the Choco
Taco. Don't fall for it. It's a PR scam.
Oh, well, then I don't have anything else to say.
It will be back in 6 months, and it will sell out.
I'll say this.
The Mexican pizza from Taco Bell.
Well, hold on, because, you know, they got rid of my Maurice Linnell pinwheel cookies, and they tried to bring those back, and that never happened. So are you telling me? And the Twinkie, by the way, also
came back.
Yeah, but it's not as good. It's made by some other company. They're smaller. It's not as good. I don't want you to lose the Choco Taco. It's a beautiful treat.
Here's the thing, though.
I mean, look at it.
Klondike was not the originator of the Choco Taco. They were the second company. Good Humor made the Choco Taco originally.
Okay, fine. Well, then let's get Good Humor back on the Choco Taco.
Here's a little
Taco
secret,
train.
Though, for you, Lawrence. If you really want a Choco Taco, just go get a drumstick. It's the same damn thing.
No.
Just a different shape.
Oh, no, have you tried the new drumsticks that have the Nestle Crunch as opposed to the peanut?
Excellent.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. And Oreo just came out with their own drumstick. It's got an Oreo cone. They are fantastic. I got to say, the last Choco Taco I had was pretty disappointing. It was real chewy and not great.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I could see why that would happen with a
Nobody has talked about the Choco Taco more than it has in the last 24 hours. It's a PR stunt. They're going to bring it back after the new year, and it's going to be like the Mexican pizza at Taco Bell. Everybody's going to want it. It's an inferior product, but because it's been gone for 6 months, all of a sudden you want it. I mean, Amoco's are back, for Christ's sake. Have you seen that in the city?
I'm not buying my gas from no Brits. Bring back Amoco.
Amoco's are back.
Well,
Nothing stays away forever.
Just like Jay and his sliders, I now want to eat a Choco Taco. So I guess that
you've
done me.
All right.
Okay. You want to go next? This is kind of a co-bitch that you and I have.
Yes.
That once again at SummerSlam, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar are fighting.
Yeah.
Volume 75.
Let's see how lame of a finish we can do this time. Yeah, enough of the Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I'm a big pro wrestling guy. Lots going on at the WWE these days.
Yes.
You can have a whole hour episode just on that. But, yeah, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. I didn't like it 5 years ago.
Again?
I still don't like it now. So you can keep your SummerSlam this weekend.
Okay.
Keep your SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'm tired of two of the least interesting wrestlers of all time. They're really big. Yes, they are.
Big and strong.
Thank you. Boring.
My favorite thing of all time was the Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. I think the first time they did it at WrestleMania was Seth Rollins did the Money in the Bank thing and won the title. Remember the Deadspin series, Why Your Team Sucks?
Yes.
There was a comment in one of the Minnesota Vikings one that I will always remember. It said, just think of this. Two former Minnesota Vikings were in the WrestleMania main event this past year, and they both lost.
There you go.
That's my favorite Viking cell phone of all time.
That's great.
Beautiful. All right, and I got one here, and we can share this with the CHGO Cubs people. And I'm going to qualify this by acknowledging that I am fully on board with the Blackhawks rebuild. I am not on board with the Cubs rebuild. Why? Because there's no salary cap in baseball. You can spend as much money as you want on as many players as you want. You're owned by a billionaire. There were 40,000 people, I was among them, at Wrigley Field last night for a Monday night game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The fact that Rizzo and Bryant and Baez are gone is enough. Wilson Contreras is begging you to stay. He wants to be a Cub for life. Ian Happ is getting choked up after games at the prospect of leaving the Cubs. Two all-star players for the Cubs that you drafted and developed and brought up through your system, and you're just going to send them away for lottery tickets. It's different from the NHL. The Hawks have no way out of this aside from rebuilding, from starting from scratch. The Cubs can pay their way out of their problems as much as they wanted to. They brought in Seiya Suzuki. They made a somewhat offer to Carlos Correa, which I think was more for show than anything. But a team that makes that much money on a night-to-night-to-night basis, owned by a millionaire who's revitalized the neighborhood, who has brought in his own broadcasting company that, in the words of Crane Kenny, was going to bring in wheelbarrows full of money, pay the effing guys you brought in here to develop. Stop being cheap. Stop trying to sell off. Stop trying to just make a profit. The Cub fans deserve better than what you're giving them. And I'll say the same thing to the White Sox, too. I'm not a White Sox fan, but they remind me a lot of the Bill Wirtz era Blackhawks, where they were just good enough to keep you interested and just would not spend that extra money to get over the hump. Rocky Wirtz brought in Marian Hossa to get that team over the hump, and Antoine Vermette and other people down the line to keep them competitive over the years. The White Sox should be doing that right now, and the Cubs should not be selling Wilson Contreras or Ian Happ. There, I'm done.
Amen. I agree.
There you go.
I agree. Has there ever been a sports owner that went from the honeymoon ended as quickly as the Ricketts? I mean, you literally got the Cubs a World Series, and then within like 6 months, everybody's like, F these guys.
Yeah. They do it. It's self-inflicted, too.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of it,
it's
for the most part, the family
I have
is
grown
trash.
Up a Cubs fan. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. The Cubs winning the World Series in 2016 was one of the greatest sports moments of my life, something I'll never forget. You know, I put Cubs baseball cards in both my grandfather and father's caskets because they never got to see that, and they were the reason I was a Cub fan. And now, I haven't watched a Cubs game from start to finish in probably 2 or 3 years because I don't care.
There's no
reason to. I don't care. I'm not gonna get like super excited for Frank Schwindel or whatever the hell is. I don't care.
Yeah. Swing.
I saw what I wanted out of them, and now it's like, I've seen it. I don't care about this half-ass effort to make me think you're competing.
Yep. It's brutal. All right.
I mean, I just – sorry. I'm
sorry, no, go.
No. I just don't understand how you cry foul or cry poor and try and buy Chelsea. Like, something doesn't add up.
Because they think we're idiots.
Ah, there you go.
Well, what would really chat my ass yesterday, so great night at the game. It was one of those, like – Chamber of Commerce days at Wrigley Field last night. Just beautiful, beautiful weather. Mm-hmm. The sky was, sunset was beautiful. Cubs win. Wilson Contreras and Ian Happ contribute to the whole thing. Game ends. Tom Ricketts is walking on the field, and he's signing autographs down to the third base line.
Who wants his autograph?
Like, right.
Seriously,
here with that,
who does,
okay?
Who does want his autograph?
The only thing I want Tom Ricketts to sign for me is a check.
Yeah.
Otherwise, keep
it. Yeah, that
so works. That happens. Then I get home, and I'm laying in bed, you know, trying to decompress a little bit from a stressful drive home from Wrigley. And I'm seeing Wilson Contreras literally crying about the prospects of leaving Chicago. It's brutal. Like, that's a guy who has given so much to this organization, his heart and his soul, and you could say the same things about Rizzo and Bryant and Javi. They're already gone. There's no need to trade Wilson Contreras right now. I don't think you're going to get anything that's going to revitalize your organization or bring you some high-level, next-generational superstar. Baseball trades just typically don't work that way. It's dumb, it's cheap, and it's annoying, and you as a Cub fan should be pissed. That said, if you want to go to a Cubs game and enjoy Wrigley, no judgment. It's a great night out. But it's just the whole thing of the Ricketts saying, like, oh, you know, we got to rebuild. No. Pay. You're billionaires. I don't want to hear it. Cry me a river. Fill my coffee mug with billionaire tears.
If you
want
to spend your money, sell it to somebody who will.
Sell the team to someone who will. Yep. There'll be a lot of buyers out there. All right. Let's wrap it up.
Thanks for letting us have this week's edition of Broadcast Therapy.
Yeah. That'll do it for the CHGO Cubs Blackhawks podcast.
Crossover.
Featuring wrestling. I'm Jay. That's Greg and Mario.
White Castle.
Thanks to Lawrence for running the show today. We appreciate it.
White Castle.
We'll talk to you tomorrow at 11. Reminder, Thursday at 11, we're going to talk to Scott Wheeler of The Athletic and Calvin DeHaan at some point next week. So mark your calendars. Thanks, y'all. Have a good day.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.